This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The Earth's average temperature keeps setting records, hitting another high yesterday. This woman headed to the pool in Buffalo.
Really good to have as an option, especially when it's 90 degrees out. You know, it's too hot, especially for kids. They get hot, they start getting aggravated. They just want to cool down in some sort of fashion.
A big breakthrough for more than 6.5 million Americans with Alzheimer's. The FDA has given full approval to a new drug. CBS News chief medical correspondent John LaPook.
Approval of lecanemab is a step forward for a disease that has been largely untreatable. Alzheimer's researcher Dr. Sam Gandy consults for Eisai, the maker of lecanemab, but does not benefit financially from drug sales.
Lecanemab is the first consistently effective disease-modifying therapy for Alzheimer's disease. So I think that qualifies it as a game changer.
Police say a missing Houston teen wasn't really missing, CBS's Chris Fox reports.
Rudy Farias was 17 years old when his mother reported him missing in March 2015. A week ago, he was found lying on the ground outside of a Houston church. Police are now saying they don't believe Farias went missing at all. Lieutenant Christopher Zamora.
It was discovered that Rudy returned home the following day on March 8th, 2015. The mother, Janie, continued to deceive police by remaining adamant that Rudy was still missing.
No false report charges filed so far. Farias' aunts believe their sister is guilty.
She's always been manipulative. She's a very greedy person.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen criticized China's treatment of American businesses while in Beijing.
Our economic relationship with China must work for American businesses and American workers.
The U.S. is giving hundreds of millions in additional military aid to Ukraine, including controversial cluster munitions. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
They explode in the air and release submunitions across a wide area. They're cluster weapons and banned in many countries. The Biden administration has been debating months over whether to provide Ukraine with them. They'll be drawn down from existing stocks and therefore bypass existing laws prohibiting their use or transfer.
Singer Taylor Swift just dropped a new version of her 2010 album, Speak Now. It's the third in a series of Taylor's versions after a bitter fight over her original recordings in 2020. Most songs vary slightly in length, and there are 6 new vault tracks. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Who's ready for Friday? Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wiscommon Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. Just gorgeous up here. 49 degrees, a little on the cool side, but after last weekend's heat and humidity, it's kind of a nice break. On this Friday, July 7th, let's look at some temperatures around the area right now. You go up to Hayward, folks listening on the Buzz of the North, it's 42 degrees in Hayward right now, 48 in Richland Center. Madison reporting 56, Oshkosh 54, and Wausau coming in at 50 degrees for folks listening on Bull Falls Radio. Here's what's on tap this morning. We'll begin with some imaginary Supreme Court cases. When right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it was legal for a website designer to discriminate against potential LGBTQ customers, it turns out they were ruling about a situation that didn't exist. The same-sex couple seeking a wedding website was made up. It's only the latest situation that has more Americans questioning the legitimacy of a court that has struck down women's health care rights. It has struck down colleges' efforts to have a diverse student body, even as some of the justices are mired in ethical suspicion. And we'll talk to Kia Vakil about that. In our second hour, we'll talk to Mark Jacob about how national media outlets can't stop rooting for a recession despite no shortage of positive economic data. There was more yesterday, another healthy batch showing that things are going well, but all the negative messaging out there has people thinking otherwise. Are these newsrooms simply craving conflict, or are they bending over backwards in order to both sides a healthy economy and not make conservatives upset? Mark will discuss his new column for Courier Newsroom called Facts or Feelings Inside the Media's Misleading Economic Coverage. Dan Schumacher slated to join us as well. And along the way, if you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789 is the phone number here in the studio. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching the live video feed of the radio show, especially on one of our Facebook pages, you can leave a comment there. And if we see it, we may put that up on screen and respond to it as well. Down to Madison we go, where Aaron Zommers is standing by on what was a very short work week for me. Not quite as short for you, but still happy to have the weekend coming along. And do you make other plans, or were we so close to the holiday weekend that, you know, you're just kicking back this time around?
I will be going to Manitowoc again because one of my friends came down from Manitowoc to help me move last week, and his transmission got a leak. So his truck's in the shop. I will be driving it up to Manitowoc, and then another one of my friends who lives here will be driving back with me. So extra driving.
But you're doing a good deed.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also for someone who just helped me, even if I wasn't, I would be willing to do it anyway, but still.
But that's what friends are for. I'm waiting for Dionne Warwick and Elton John to come in here and start singing to us. But you're a good person, Aaron. Don't let all my kidding tell you otherwise.
Well, thanks, I guess.
It just means I don't have any lingering bitterness about the surprise party and getting confetti all over my carpet.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, because you were such a co-conspirator in that. Hey, on Up North News social media posts right now, you can see the story of the police officer in the Sturgeon Bay area who rescued cows from a burning barn. We also show you a 9-year-old girl in Pittsburgh, a Rowdy Tellez fan, and how she was able to get one of Rowdy's bats from him while she was rooting for him in their recent series against the Pirates. And there are also some weekend events ideas all over at the Up North News social feeds. Look on Facebook and Instagram. Maybe it's on Threads too. I spent so much of yesterday, you know, just kind of building up my new Threads account and just watching everybody enjoy being on a new platform because of what has happened to Twitter. And I swear I went on Twitter, I don't know, maybe 4 times yesterday. And every time my feed was nothing but like Robin Voss tweets at random people and other right wingers. It's almost like everybody emptied out except the Fox News crowd is all that's left on Twitter, the folks who didn't already join Trump on his tiny social media network. And meanwhile, over on Threads, it's like Princess Jasmine singing A Whole New World, and it's been rather nice. So we will have an Up North News account there. I know there's a Civic Media account on Threads as well. So if you're just getting going, there's a bit of a learning curve. Aaron, I'm trying so hard not to always be the old guy here, but I was reading the instructions from my editor-in-chief at Up North News, and I love Kim, and she was trying to be helpful in how do you post a GIF on Threads, because it's not all that intuitive. And so her instructions about downloading the Giphy keyboard and then setting the Giphy keyboard to give it all access, and then knowing that you have to paste it in this part of the thread and not the other part of the thread. Now, to a young person, that's like, okay, fine, that's what I'll do. But I think your brain at some point goes, no, I don't want to learn anything else. But I did, and I was very proud of myself.
Well, there we go. You got it all figured out. I think you're a lot more tech savvy than, I don't know,
than the average bear.
Yeah.
I hope. But I am understanding now that feeling as you get a little bit older of like, do I need to learn that? Am I really going to use that? We'll see. Hey, we have some news headlines to talk about. There's some real whining going on out there about Governor Evers and his veto pen. We'll have that story and much more just ahead on this Friday morning. You're Up North.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee.
I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your little Friday dose of Steely Dan. Although I would dare say there's nothing, you know, black about this Friday. It's gorgeous up here. We're in the 40s in many cases around the state. And we'll get a full updated forecast all across Wisconsin from Weatherology coming up exactly 1 hour from now. You can sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter. Comes out around 5 a.m. And on the newsletter today, as often happens on Fridays, links to some of the stories we covered throughout the week in case you missed them. They include my summary of some of the things that are in the final state budget signed by Governor Evers this week, some of the things that are not in the budget bill, and also a story on why Governor Tony Evers will be part of a news story 400 years from now. There might be Jetsons-like flying cars. Maybe the news is delivered telepathically. There will be many changes in state budgets. But if there is a Wisconsin 402 years from now and a state budget, there will be a news story about what Tony Evers did this year for folks dealing with the year 2024-25. So again, that's in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Kia Vakil is coming up in just a bit with some of the political headlines from the week. Other headlines that I wanted to tackle today, well, first on the fun side, the racing sausages turn 30 this year, which was so unique at the time. And well, frankly, it still is. And I don't know that it was the first. I dare say it probably wasn't. But certainly among the most well-known, what you would call baseball mascots and activities that go on. And that would be the racing sausages. You know, if you're doing something about the Brewers, you would not be surprised to hear about racing, you know, beer steins or racing cows, you know, here in America's Dairyland. But somebody came up with the idea to feature, you know, the original three sausages, the brat, the Italian, and the Polish. And since that time, the chorizo and the hot dog have been added as they all race toward the finish line at some point in a Brewers game that first debuted June 27th, 1993. So just a little bit past the 30th anniversary when this was going on at County Stadium. Of course, it carried over to Miller Park, now American Family Field. And there will be a bit of a celebration, a commemoration tonight before the Brewers game with the Cincinnati Reds. Now, before we get to the Brewers and the Reds, we have to tie a bow on the Brewers series with the Cubs, a four-game series that ended yesterday afternoon. And the Brewers' Victor Caratini hit a tie-breaking home run in the eighth inning, and the Brewers recovered from a blown three-run lead to beat the Cubs 6-5 yesterday and gain a split in that four-game series. Milwaukee had led 4-1 in the sixth inning, and they were even up 5-3 in the eighth inning before Chicago's Yan Gomes hit a two-run dinger that tied it up. And then that was followed, thankfully, by Caratini's difference maker. Freddie Peralta allowed three runs, four hits, and three walks in 5 1/3 innings. He matched his season high of 10 strikeouts. Now, Milwaukee's next six games are against the division-leading Cincinnati Reds. Corbin Burns will be on the mound tonight at American Family Field. The Brewers host the Reds for three games this weekend. Then comes the All-Star break. And then when we pick things up, the Brewers will be in Cincinnati for a series there. So much like a week or so ago when we were in Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh was leading the division when we went into Pittsburgh. We were leading the division by the time the Brewers left town. Maybe the same thing can happen over these next six games with the Reds. You can catch it all on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center or Oshkosh Air Support throughout the Fox Valley. We wanted to wish a very happy 77th wedding anniversary to Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, the first couple, the longest married, oldest first couple ever. They are certainly facing health challenges. The 39th president of the United States is 98 years old now, and he is in home hospice care. The former first lady is 95 and has dementia. The Carter family did not offer a lot of details on Jimmy or Rosalind Carter's conditions, but said they both enjoyed spending some time with each other, along with a stream of family members and occasional visits from close friends. And a grandson said it's been really wonderful to see the outpouring of support and respect and love. And I hope that more people take time to appreciate that, because Jimmy Carter was a national punching bag for a long time and still remains so to some folks who really have nothing better to do with their lives and don't appreciate the way that the election of 1980, Carter versus Reagan, really was a fork in the road for our nation, with, you know, Jimmy Carter on one shoulder saying, you know, follow this way, and Ronald Reagan on the other one saying, you know, materialism's a good thing. You can own that 3-ton pickup truck, and you know, you don't have to worry that there's going to be gas and oil forever. And, you know, so many other things about shrinking government and drowning it in a bathtub. And, you know, folks listened the way that they did. And I think that history will eventually judge the Carter administration a little bit more kindly than what you might hear portrayed in certain media outlets. Want to congratulate some unknown soul out in the Muskego area for winning a $50,000 Powerball ticket. It was sold for Wednesday's drawing and matched the Powerball and matched 4 out of 5 numbers, which is great to win the $50,000, but you got to be thinking about that fifth digit. And, you know, whether was it random? Did they pick it because of lucky numbers or birthdays or whatever the case may be? The odds of winning the $50,000 prize are 1 in 900,000. So it certainly, obviously, it does happen from time to time. And it happened here to somebody who remains unidentified in Muskego. But, you know, congratulations to them just the same. All right, turning our attention to Governor Tony Evers and the state budget and deciding to sign it, which is not sitting well with some folks, especially education advocates and others in certain progressive circles that were spoiling for more of a fight. The governor said, look, there are enough good things in here that we don't want to jeopardize. He was able to use 51 partial vetoes to alter the document in some significant ways. And I'll tell you, one of those ways sure has Republicans' hair on fire. You know, the Republican politicians. Again, I don't know that a lot of our Republican friends and neighbors were saying, hey, for those 11 billionaires in the state, let's give them literally a 7-figure tax cut. I don't know that anybody was necessarily asking for that, but to hear Republican legislators tell it, this might be the end of the republic. And the fact that the governor not only took away the monster tax cut for the top brackets, but that he also altered the school funding in a way that guarantees at least a basic level of support for the next 400 years. Honestly, I talked before about Republican Twitter. Republican Twitter is, well, I guess it's all a Twitter would be one way to put it, but the vitriol, the anger, the complete amnesia over what's been done with partial vetoes by Republican governors in the past is, I mean, it's almost delicious. Scott Walker at one point turned a 1-year moratorium on some minor thing in the budget into a 1,000-year moratorium, and you didn't hear boo out of Republican legislators back then. If anything, you would have expected something more about reacting to just one of the vetoes that was an earmark. Now, Republicans love to talk about being against budget earmarks. I'm one of those people that I'm very much for budget earmarks. I'm simply for transparency in them. I want to know who requested it so you can hold them accountable. None of these, you know, these secret earmarks used to be the regular thing in generations past. Well, anyway, there was an earmark in there for $1 million for work on a dam in the Assembly District of Speaker Robin Voss, and the governor vetoed that particular one. I don't have the veto message in front of me to see what he said about that, but I'm sure that it had something to do with setting priorities on capital projects, and I'm sure it had something to do with lines of take that, you know, to Robin Voss. And, you know, as other people have noted, it's at least a little proof that the governor has a sense of humor in the way that he does these vetoes. Others, you know, he was a bit more clear on why he did what he did. For example, there had been a proposal to merge colleges in West Bend, both the UW-Milwaukee campus for Washington County and also the Moraine Park Technical College. And there's been a lot of discussion about the two-year centers in the UW system. Are they healthy? Is this merger with the four-year campuses working? Do you need to do something else? Do you need to close some, like the controversy over Richland Center? Well, Republicans in the budget took it upon themselves to say that there would be a merger between the UW school in West Bend and the technical college in that area. And Governor Evers used one of his partial vetoes on that. And he says it quite well. He says, "I object to the legislature singling out only one of our state's branch campuses when many campuses are facing challenges, in part due to the legislature's repeated failure to provide an adequate level of funding for the University of Wisconsin system." What he's saying is, you yahoos have plenty of time to actually cut UW funding because you didn't like that there are diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that are helping to make our campuses more diverse. You were able to be that petty, but you also found the time to take it upon yourself to create a merger between a tech college and a UW school. How about you work on funding both of these systems? I mean, remember, it was just a couple of weeks back, never mind the UW system cut. It was a couple of weeks back that a reporter discovered how Republicans were basically trying to sneak through a very radical change in how technical colleges are funded. And again, would have made the technical college system as vulnerable to spur-of-the-moment budget cuts as the UW system is, which right now can have their budget cut just based on the whims of Robin Voss or anybody else in the legislature. Now, that didn't go through, but it showed their intentions. And this merger didn't go through, but again, it showed their intentions to focus on basically micromanaging institutions and local governments rather than actually supporting them, providing resources, helping them with, you know, workforce and job creation and everything else that would be good to the long term of the economy. Instead, it's always short-term party politics, which helped no one and basically, you know, cried out for the vetoes that Governor Evers gave them. All right, we'll turn toward a more national focus with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Bakil. We'll talk about recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions, Ron DeSantis's not-so-great week, and much more right after this break. You're up, Norm.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Millions of Americans will spend another day under heat warnings. Triple-digit temperatures are common this week. CBS News correspondent Jared Hill reports.
Firefighters in Maine say 90-degree temperatures have led to an uptick in emergency calls. And it's not just here. For three straight days this week, measurements from the University of Maine showed Earth's average temperature reaching record highs.
Millions of Americans with Alzheimer's have more hope this morning after the FDA gave full approval to a new drug. Patient Susie Mitchell is encouraged as she takes the drug.
I can stay active and healthy and with it.
A new album from singer Taylor Swift. It's actually a revised version of her 2010 album Speak Now, stemming from her fight with her former record label. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Oh, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It wouldn't be Friday, even in a short work week, if we didn't check in with our friend Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. For those of you relatively new to the show, Courier Newsroom is the parent company of Up North News and has 8 state-based outlets all around the state. And so Kia from California covers the goings-on, not just in Wisconsin, but Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Iowa, and Virginia. Kia, I don't know how you do it, but good morning.
Good morning. I do not do it all myself. That's how I do it.
I was going to say, it's all about the teamwork. You can do a lot of teamwork over Slack, and that's exactly what we do. So as you're covering the national stories and looking at them, you know, for all of us state newsrooms back home, certainly one of the big, centers of attention last week was the U.S. Supreme Court. It was the end of their term, putting out multiple different cases. So let's start with one that is a bit about LGBTQ, rights or the right to discriminate. And apparently, allegedly, this case turns out to be based in part
on something that didn't actually happen. And there was all this chatter like, oh, they should throw that decision out. And then other people saying, it's not really enough to throw the case out. So do you mind giving a little bit of background on what this imaginary part of the Supreme Court case was?
Yeah, absolutely. So on late last week, the court ruled that a web designer based in Colorado could deny web, production services to same-sex couples. And this was based in a case that she filed, or, she was the main plaintiff in Colorado, where she said, she, because of her Christian belief, she did not feel comfortable creating designs containing a message with which she disagrees. And she said her faith required her to turn away customers seeking same-sex wedding-related services. But in her case, this lawsuit was filed in 2016. And at that time she had never designed any websites for weddings. But she claimed in court filings that she got contacted by a same-sex couple named Stuart and Mike, requesting those services. And that was, pretty much the basis of this case. But apparently no lawyer or judge or anyone ever contacted either Stuart or Mike. Until a reporter from the New Republic, which is a more progressive media outlet, recently reached out to Stuart. And it turns out he never made an inquiry. He is not gay. He has been married to a woman, and he does not live in Colorado and did not then. So pretty much it's a completely fake filing. It's unclear if, the woman made it up, her attorneys made it up. She's represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a very right wing religious Christian group. And it's a pretty bizarre situation, especially because, it seems to be like this thing never existed, this request, and it opens the door for potential discrimination against LGBTQ people in other states based on a fake filing.
It does, though the defenders of the ruling are pointing out that what they were bringing the case up for wasn't so much the individual, Stuart, in this case, but for the concept that at some point they would be committing a crime if they refused service, which, again, is that a technicality or what? It just made a lot of people angry that, due diligence wasn't done to find out if there was even a there before ruling on the concept of what is there.
Yeah, because, when you're doing that, that can be applied to almost anything. You're trying to preemptively basically avoid a law based on a scenario that's made up. So if you apply that to other aspects of life or the law or the world, what does anything mean anymore? If you can just make something up and get the Supreme Court to rule the way you want it to rule, then very few things are really safe if that's the metric we're using.
Then in another case from this past week that dealt with affirmative action programs at two different universities, the Supreme Court, again, in a very predictable ideological split, set that notion back a ways, and again, did so in a way that raised a lot of hackles. And I was one of them saying on Friday, apparently the Supreme Court said, hey, racism doesn't exist anymore. It's all solved at the institutional level, which is, I grant you, hyperbolic, but you understand the sentiment behind it.
I mean, it's not really hyperbolic when you look at their decisions over the last decade. They gutted the Voting Rights Act pretty infamously because John Roberts argued that the environment that justified it no longer exists, i.e., we've solved racism, which clearly is we have not. So by effectively banning affirmative action at these two schools, it effectively bans it nationwide. And affirmative action has been shown to help give Black, Latino, and Native American students a chance at getting into sort of elite public schools and private schools. We've seen at the University of Michigan and University of California, Berkeley, what happens when affirmative action is banned. Some states don't allow it. And their minority populations have plummeted of students because, you know, surprise, surprise, our educational systems in this country are historically advantaged white people, just like a lot of our other systems. And so, you know, without active efforts to kind of make it possible for Black, Latino, Native students to get in, they won't. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, affirmative action was flawed, that, you know, in an ideal world, we wouldn't need it. And that's true. But we also, you know, we have legacy admissions, which help rich white male primarily students get into places they have no business attending based on the merits. So, you know, it's just if we want it to really to be fully merit driven, then OK, but let's get rid of legacy admissions. Let's actually make it merit driven. Let's, you know, this country wants to be based on that, but isn't right now.
Exactly. And I think that's what really gets to some people is they're doing what they can to set back some people. Mm-hmm. But there are other folks who get to continue doing the questionable things that they're doing, whether we're talking about legacy admissions or if we're talking about the ethics of the justices themselves to be able to go so right wing against, you know, fellow Americans and yet not have anything brought to account for, you know, what they've accepted in terms of, you know, vacations and whatnot from mega donors who are, you know, mega millionaires, I should say, who may have business before the court. The whole thing just really erodes public confidence, as we see in a continuing string of Marquette polls about how fewer people believe in the legitimacy of this court.
No, it's a partisan political ideological court. And, you know, let's be honest here. For most of American history, it's been that way. It's really, and for most of American history, it's favored big business interests, wealthy interests. Certainly not Black people are minorities. You know, the court's history of rulings is pretty appalling with those regards until, you know, the 1950s. We went through a, you know, 4 or 5 decade period where the court actually sought to uphold the promise of America. And now that's being rolled back. And whether it's affirmative action, whether it's greenlighting discrimination against gay people, whether it's, you know, reinterpreting a law from 20 years ago to rob 40 million people of debt relief, of student debt relief, the court is doing what the Federalist Society wants it to do, which is, you know, this super right-wing judicial advocacy group that put all 6 of these judges on the bench because they support big business and they support, you know, far right social policy.
And that's what we're going to have for this court for some time to come, because, again, it's about presidential elections. And we, you know, we don't elect Supreme Court justices. We elect presidents. And this is what we got. Well, I shouldn't. It's not just Trump. It's what Mitch McConnell did, you know, with the Senate as well. And it's something that we're just going to have to deal with. Let's turn now to the 2024 presidential campaign. Not a lot that went on this past week, except that I guess Florida Governor Ron DeSantis didn't have a great week. I will admit, I saw a little bit of chatter that something didn't go well for him. I didn't care enough to look into it because I knew I could talk to you. So would you fill in me and all the other? It's a classic case of I read this stuff so you don't have to. Kia, you had to read about Ron DeSantis's not so great week. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, many things happened. It's Ron DeSantis. He is running a campaign that is, you know, every week doing something that's, you know, costing him in the polls. But the main issue, one of the main issues from last week was the super PAC that's affiliated with his campaign, Never Back Down, technically independent from it, but they're supporting him, posted a video to Twitter that effectively compares Ron DeSantis to the serial killer from American Psycho in a positive light, let me say, and other, you know, deeply unwell figures, basically trying to paint DeSantis's anti-LGBTQ policies and anti-trans policies as a positive thing. And people need to watch this video because it's one of the most deranged things I've ever seen a campaign or a PAC celebrate, because it's effectively, you know, they compare him to Achilles in the story of Troy. Also, oh, like, basically being like, our guy is the worst person you've ever met, and that's why he's great. And so they effectively are trying to make Trump seem soft on being terrible to trans people, saying DeSantis is more terrible, and that's, you know, a good thing. And he's gotten a lot of blowback for it because, you know, even if he didn't put it out, the PAC that supports him did. And, you know, this is just the latest in a lot of questionable decisions from that PAC, from his campaign. You know, they're targeting wokeness. They're targeting LGBTQ people. They have no plan for actually how to help people struggling paycheck, living paycheck to paycheck. Miami is one of the most unaffordable cities in the country. Housing is a crisis everywhere in this country, and he has no plan on that, even in his own state, where he actually could contribute to the change. So it's just the latest in a really bizarre set of campaign decisions.
It really is. And again, your constituency, you continue to limit it. And now it's, at some point, it's just going to be, you know, the Moms for Liberty group, which I guess is still... Didn't they have a speaker just a day or two ago? Again, speaking favorably about, you know, Hitler and other dictators who are just kind of misunderstood. A quick, can we get some free advice to anybody in politics? That's never the way to go, is to talk about world authoritarian leaders, dictators being misunderstood. Hasn't worked. Never going to work. Please stop trying it.
Yeah. And I will note that that comes, I don't know, a week after Moms for Liberty chapter. And I think it was Indiana. I think, don't hold me to it, quoted Hitler on their flyer without context, in a way that very much conveyed it was a positive quote. It's just, it boggles the mind. I mean, just don't quote Hitler. That's like a pretty basic.
Just don't. Yes. If you get nothing, if you get up Friday mornings at 6:30 and learn nothing else from us, don't quote Hitler. It's just not that tough. Anyway, I'm sorry. We do try because there's good news to report as well. And I'm glad that you get to see some of this, you know, everything from the potential of electric vehicles in Arizona to the progress that's being made in Michigan with a, you know, a Democratic legislature and governor. So I think I better end on that note that, you know, you don't have a little black rain cloud above you, despite what some people joke, you know, about to you, that you get to cover the progress that's made in some of the states as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're seeing, I think it was last week, you know, the federal government announced massive investments in to expand broadband all across the country. Arizona is really booming in the electric vehicle sector and the microchip sector. Michigan, you know, manufacturing and construction workforce are thriving. Unemployment rates are, you know, plunging all across the country steadily over the last year, 2 years. Things are going well. You know, there's every week there's a new story about how the Inflation Reduction Act is driving domestic investments in manufacturing and construction and solar energy, and taking away business from Europe. And if you want America to transition to clean energy, to fight climate change, to be economically successful in the 21st century, those are good things. We have a lot of problems in this country, certainly. But, you know, there's also a lot of progress being made.
Exactly. Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Thank you for the time, as always. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You're up north.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's going to be sunny for a little while this morning, but we will gradually become mostly cloudy as we head into the afternoon. Our high 79 today, the wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Could see an isolated shower or thunderstorm with a high of 78. On Sunday, sunny, high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
It was 1 week ago that we said the number one album this day in 1984 was Sports by Huey Lewis and the News. The number one song a week later in 1984 was by Prince, When Doves Cry. It was Prince's very first chart topper, the song being from an upcoming movie, a little ditty by the name of Purple Rain. Things would only get more interesting for Prince from that moment on. On this day in 1456, Joan of Arc was given a retrial, and she was acquitted of heresy. Only problem is, the retrial and the acquittal came 25 years after she was burned at the stake. So,
a little late there, buddy.
You know, that we talk about the wheels of justice, a criminal justice system. It isn't just Merrick Garland. It dates way, way back. When we talk about something being, you know, as good as sliced bread or something like that, yeah, there's a date for that. Sliced bread was sold for the first time on July 7th, 1928. By the Chillicothe Baking Company in Missouri. So, sliced bread.
You know what's older than sliced bread? Cheez-Its.
Really?
Cheez-Its were first sold in 1921.
Oh, so Cheez-Its are 102 years old, and sliced bread is only 95 years old. Got that going for us. On this day in 1940, a Beatle was born. Happy birthday to Richard Starkey. We know him better as Ringo Starr. And he is 83 years old today. On this day in 1969, John Lennon releases Give Peace a Chance, a song that he and Yoko and a chorus of guests recorded at their bed-in in a Montreal hotel room. It was on this day in 1958 that President Eisenhower signed the Alaska Statehood Act into law, getting set to give the U.S. 49 states and 49 stars on the flag. And I know there's a 49-star design. It sure wasn't around very long because Hawaii was quick on its heels. This New York-born but California-raised singer turns 60. And when I tell you it's Vonda Shepard and you hear this song, you're going to think of a TV show. Yes, it's Ally McBeal. Vonda Shepard was a relative unknown, but was not only the singer behind the theme song to Ally McBeal, but was also the bar singer in many of the episodes. And then she went on to have a nice little career herself in the 90s. She also had a great duet with Dan Hill called Can't We Try? Comedian Jim Gaffigan is 57 years old today. It was on this day in 1981 that President Reagan nominated Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first woman to serve on the United States Supreme Court.
On this day in 1985, Boris Becker became the youngest male player ever to win Wimbledon at the age of just 17. The number one hit from this day in 1973 was by Billy Preston. On this day in 2009, after a private ceremony at Forest Lawn Cemetery, Michael Jackson's public funeral was held at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And there's your music break. There's your history lesson for this July 7th of 2023. A couple of days now past the wedding anniversary for myself and for Sherry, we finally went out to dinner last night to one of our very favorite restaurants, Mona Lisa's on Water Street in Eau Claire. And we had to laugh, but we've been going there for so long that we did have our waiter take our picture sitting at the table because we, for the longest time, except now I can't find it, we had one of the pictures that was on our wall was from our 10th wedding anniversary, which was also at Mona Lisa's, also on the back patio there. And I was looking around last night to find it so I could put up, you know, a little, you know, before and after. And I don't know where it went in moving everything around. And maybe it would have just been depressing to see what I looked like 27 years ago compared to now. But regardless, we laughed as well because we have been getting, you have a favorite. And I'm sure a lot of you are like this. So you have a certain restaurant where you just have a favorite and you don't wander off. You know, maybe you did in the beginning, but once you find what you like, you like. I mean, when Sherry goes to Cancun restaurant here in Chippewa Falls, you know, it's the Dom burrito with steak every time, you know, nothing else. And we've been doing that because once in a great while, it's almost like superstition when you wander off and you go, oh, that sounds interesting. Let me try that. And of course, it either, you know, just doesn't live up to expectations, or you find out that you're missing the thing that you like most. And for us, that also includes our respective entrees. Mine's a pasta puttanesca with Italian sausage, but there's also an appetizer, which is nothing but a small truckload of roasted garlic that is, you know, like in a little ramekin. You know, they pop the bulbs out of the clove, but when it's roasted just right, of course, it's spreadable. And then they serve it with this tomato chutney and a cambazola cheese. And you put that on, you know, these crackers or flatbread that they give you. And I mention all this simply to say again about the passage of time. What garlic does to somebody when they've been married 10 years versus when they've been married for 37. I'm a little sleep deprived right now because of what the impact of certain foods have now. I mean, I almost never get, a tomato-based sauce because I really should buy stock in Pepcid, it seems, with some of the dishes that you get out there. And garlic was kind of the same way. And we both remember, speaking of Jim Gaffigan, whose birthday it is today, whenever he talks about a Hot Pocket, Aaron, have you ever heard Jim Gaffigan's routine on Hot Pockets?
I don't think I have. I've heard some of his stuff, but not that.
It's so good. And at one point, he's the shame that you feel afterwards where he's like, did I eat it or did I wear it? And, you know, the next morning after you eat that much garlic, you can run your finger along your cheek and it feels like you can just spread the garlic right off coming out of your pores, you know, and we laugh about it. But I'm going to tell you, we loved it last night and we're going to order it again the next time we go there. And just bear in mind, maybe we should take the Pepcid before we go to the restaurant instead of afterwards. Because again, when you got something you like, it doesn't even matter if it's out there beating up your body, you know, as it works its way through. You like what you like for dinner and you stick with that. I have so totally frightened Aaron into hitting middle age at this point.
Oh, I was already frightened.
You should do it. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't come with a manual. So I'm just providing the manual of things to expect when you get to this age. You're still going to like things, but you know, there's a price to be paid. Let's take a break for news, weather. We'll have more coming up on our 7 o'clock hour. You're up north.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.